Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
Yay!
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm really good. It's Friday. It's Friday. Yeah.
Is it your holiday now? Are we on the countdown to the end of your mammoth summer of work?
Yeah, we are. We actually are. So I'm going to do my last drive time show today. Yeah. And then Dozer and I have decided to have a little night away in London. We're staying at the Sea Containers, you know, that really, really...
Yeah, the didn't used to be the Mondrian.
And then we're just having a little night out on the town, just the two of us, like a few cocktails, bit of din. It's going to be nice.
Oh, that's so nice. Oh, my goodness.
And then Sunday's my last kind of day of, you know, the 8 weeks, and then we're going on holiday next week. We are going to, I mean, sounds like we're jetting off somewhere. We're going to Norfolk, but Norfolk is supposed to be lovely. We've got a place on the beach. We're staying with some mates, and I'm just gonna, you know, kick back and drink a lot of wine.
Yeah, relax. Don't think about anything. Yeah. And schools, I don't know about anyone else, but schools start next week as well. Axel starts school on Thursday. I'm so looking forward to it. Oh my God. Oh my God. I sort of go through like, oh my God, this is really young for him to be going to school, to suddenly like, oh no, listen, I'm ready for you to go to school. I mean, I'm so ready, so he better be.
I think it'll be nice for you as well. Like, we had a chat yesterday, didn't we? And you were saying that it's been tough for you because you used to have this career where you had to go into London every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, the kids, well, that's a Axel at the time, wasn't it? Axel was at home and or with, you know, at the nursery or whatever. And you were like, career girl, in and out, da da da. And you've actually had to really look at your life as a stay at home mum. I mean, obviously, we're running Made by Mama, so it's not like you're doing just the kids.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
It's so different, and it's weird because I'm thinking about next week, like, right, I need to be really organised in the morning, I need to have all this done, and really, he hasn't got to be at school till 8:40, and we live pretty much in the next road, whereas before, I used to leave the house at 7 a.m, like, every day, like, and I didn't think anything of it.
I feel quite guilty as parents to be able to actually say to one another, I'm actually quite looking forward to having a bit of my own space. I'm actually looking forward to my kids being out of the house from 8:30 until 3 p.m. so I can actually do some of my own stuff. As I'm saying, fine, Georgia, like, we've got Made by Mamas, you've got loads of other things going on. It's like, it's going to be really nice for you. Of course, you've got Gigi, but you'll have a bit more time, won't you?
Yes, and it's going to be amazing. But listen, so today...
If you go off and just get blow dries all the time, I'm going to have to have words with you.
Listen, we all know we're in a modern world now. You can work from anywhere, whether that be the salon, whether that be the shopping centre.
That's true. Okay, I'll meet you there. What are we talking about today?
Birth, of course. I mean, we love listening to people's birth stories, don't we? And I think it never gets old, actually, does it? It never gets old, any birth story. I saw my friend today, and she had a home birth.
Oh my God, wow. Did Lucy have a home birth?
Yeah, she had a home birth. Her little boy is a week old, and she had him at home. I think she wouldn't have done this had we not just had the pandemic. She's got two older boys. Both of them were quite straightforward labours, so she was, you know, absolutely fine to do that. But because of everything that's going on at the moment and the restrictions that are in place, she decided she'd have a home birth. And do you know what? It just sounded amazing. It really did. I mean, you know, she's like, oh, it was really good. And she's looking at me like, well, it wasn't good. You know, let's get this straight. It wasn't good. It was painful and horrible and all of those things. But actually being at home and getting into your own shower straight after and then just getting into bed is lovely.
You know what? That's incredible. And we're hearing so many more stories of people actually doing that and deciding that, you know what, they don't want to go into hospital for obvious reasons. And
yeah,
you know, we have heard my friend SJ, she had quite a difficult time because she had to go in on the Saturday. They induced her, but her partner Ben, she was still in labor on the Tuesday, and he had to do the first 4 days of labor without him. And
so she was just on her own.
She was on her own. You know what, she's such a tough cookie, but I think that's going to get to anybody. And by the time the baby came on Wednesday with forceps and, you know, episiotomy and everything else that went with it, I think she was just like, get me out of here, you know?
I mean, I actually can't, I can't imagine how that is. It's nerve-wracking anyway, isn't it? And I think, especially if it's your first baby, I've got a friend who lives in Hong Kong and she is pretty anxious about her birth. And at the moment, you're not allowed to have anyone with you at all, like nobody. But in a private hospital, you are. And I think the government has just announced that in the next 4 weeks, they're going to make a decision. And that's also the time that she's got to let a private hospital know if she wants to pay the money to have the baby there. And obviously, it's a lot of money to do it. But for her, you know, it's her first birth and she just doesn't want to do it on her own. And who can blame her, really?
Yeah. I think actually we've got this fear in our heads about having home births, and I absolutely did. So I'm
me too.
I was on the fence. I was like, no. Even the second time round, because I knew that I wanted to have an epidural, I was convinced that I needed to go to hospital. But as I said, we're hearing all these incredible stories of people labouring at home, you know, labouring in the bath, you know, getting into bed, pushing, and then half an hour later, you're like curled up watching, you know, Succession.
I know.
And it's kind of like, it does sound like a way to do it. You know, maybe we need to sort of reprogram ourselves slightly that this is how they did it for centuries. Why did we then become quite freaked out about it? And why did we think that we had to go to hospital to give birth?
Yeah, I know, exactly. We, you know, my nan had my auntie at home in her bed. You know, you hear so much of that, don't you?
Yeah.
And I mean, I have to be honest, it never crossed my mind to do it.
No, you were like that. Sign us up. How long is it going to take us to get to the hospital and what drugs can we give up? Very much down that route, weren't we?
Exactly. I mean, if someone had said to me, listen, you can be put to sleep and you can wake up when it's all over, I would have done that.
Not on reflection, though, would you?
Yes.
I love your honesty. That's brilliant.
Yeah, I think I would, to be honest.
Oh, I want to go through it again.
Why?
I really liked it the second time round. Even the first time round, even though it went on and on and on, and I thought, am I actually going to have a baby here? Like, I just didn't know that. I couldn't see it because it went on for 3 days. I was thinking, there's no end in sight here. But the second time round, because I knew what I was going into, and I thought, I'd prepped much better. I'd already been through a labour, so I knew exactly what was coming, and I made the decision that as soon as I got into the hospital I'd have the epidural. I knew at that point then the pain would go and I could just enjoy the experience.
Chill.
I think I feel sad that I'm not going to go through that again.
I know what you mean, because my last experience was really positive. Like, I really have nothing but positive things to say about it. But yeah, I mean, I'm not there yet.
Anyone knows Georgia, I reckon you're going to have another baby. I just think you'll call me one day and go, oh, well, you know, we were doing the withdrawal technique and it didn't happen. It's like, that's not foolproof.
Do
you want contraception, Georgia?
No.
No, exactly. Thanks very much. What sort of fears did you have going into your first labour? Like, what was going through your head? Let's talk about your fears and then maybe we'll talk about what positives you kind of thought.
First, when I was pregnant with Axel, everything, to be honest with you, absolutely everything. I think everybody loves to tell you the horror stories, and that's fine. You know, it's good to be prepared. It's good to be prepped, like, to know what can go wrong and what you can ask for and what might come. But nobody, I don't really remember anyone telling me anything positive. And like my friend, like the one who I saw earlier, who's had two really positive births, she didn't tell me any of the good stuff of it. Do you know what I mean? Because I think people might be a little bit afraid of sharing a really good story because in case it doesn't go that way.
Yes.
So yeah, I think I was just scared about it all. I have to be like, honestly, before I had kids, I couldn't go for a blood test. Well,
You were freaked out by
needles. I was freaked out by even stepping into a hospital used to make me feel queasy. And then obviously all of that goes out the window, doesn't it, after you have children, because you can't be, you literally cannot be like that.
You can't go anywhere else.
You can't. I mean, you're there all the time. you have no choice.
One of your birth stories is when you gave birth to Gigi. And I will always, that will always be one of the funniest moments ever, because it's so you to just sit there, you know, not have time for an epidural and then just go, and then, oh look, the baby's fallen out.
Jamie said to me, I said, oh, that hurts.
Oh my god, did you not have to push like you're doing the biggest poo in the world?
No.
Oh, not, oh well,
yes,
god.
Yes, but like very controlled. I've said it before, but my midwife was unbelievable. And it's interesting actually, because speaking to my friend earlier, she was saying, we were talking about that stage of pushing, and she was saying that her midwife was similar, as in really good with like, okay, stop, okay go, okay, stop, you know, like really talking her through. And that's what she did with me. And I mean, it was quick. I got to the hospital and an hour and a half later, Gigi was born.
Yeah, it's amazing, George. That's brilliant, isn't it? What a great second labour. Brilliant.
Yeah, no, amazing. And what, I mean, we've heard, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you'll have heard Zoe and I talk about our births quite a lot. But yeah. Zoe, talk us through what happened with Lula, because I think that's, you hear this a lot, and I think it's really good for people to hear if they're pregnant or going into their second birth, you know, all the different stages that can happen. And sometimes it isn't like, you know, turn up at the hospital and an hour and a half later the baby's here.
No.
Sometimes it can go on for a lot longer.
Interestingly, after listening to Laura Brand's episode on Tuesday, when she was talking about fear, I started thinking back to that period with Lubra, and when Lubra, she's great, and Luna's also excellent with Luna. And I think I was actually, even though I was kind of, I'd done my hypnobirthing, you know, I'm physically fit, I was healthy and everything else, I think I was carrying quite a lot of fear around it. Obviously, fear of the unknown. Didn't know. I kept saying to people, I'm freaked out. And I think my body was so tense that actually there was no way that I was going to get there naturally. I mean, after, I won't go into the details because I don't think everyone's heard it a trillion times, but obviously after like 48 hours, I was only 2 centimeters dilated. And bearing in mind that I was having contractions every 4 minutes at this point, and I was
for
in the
48 hours.
Yeah. And there I was in the midwife-led unit, and it just wasn't, my labour just wasn't progressing. It was slowing down, you know, then stopping. Then I would be back in what felt like full-blown, you know, and then the pethidine and the being sick and, you know, it was.
Is pethidine the one that they do in your leg? Do they put it in your leg?
They inject you with it.
Yeah.
It made me feel so sick. Like it's a form of opiate, isn't it? So I just chucked up everywhere. I mean, it was just a bad time for me, and I was so exhausted. So I think in hindsight, I think going into it, I think the best piece of advice that Georgia and I can give anybody listening that's pregnant is to be fluid with your birthing plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Physically, you know, I'm fit, I'm strong, muscles, I can push. It just didn't happen for me. And I think that must have been a mental block around, you know, this is my plan, I have to stick to it, I have to stay in order.
Yeah.
And I wasn't just thinking, oh, trust your body. Everyone kept saying, trust your body. And I don't think I did. So I think
I think we you know, you hear this a lot. People are so set on it happening a certain way. And sometimes I know that the classes are probably different now. You don't just have to go to the NCT classes. There's some amazing classes out there that you can go to, and they can be, you know, a lot more free with it. But I think the traditional classes will tell you that this is the way to do it and this isn't the way. When I went to NCT, they put induction in red on the wall, epidural in red on the wall. Well, they're all the things that happened for me in my first birth. I was induced, and that's supposed to be really bad. You know, I had an epidural, that's supposed to be really bad. But it wasn't actually, in my experience. It wasn't bad. So I think, I think it's really Pardon? Yeah, that's the thing.
It's like, ridiculous. And then when someone says to you, I always love this question, when someone says to you after, oh, did you have a natural birth? I always go, explain what a natural birth is. I just throw it straight back onto them and make them feel really uncomfortable because I'm like,
yeah, what do you mean?
A natural birth. Like, all birth is natural. If you end up having a C-section out of choice, or, you know, or you end up giving birth at home, you know, eating a slice of toast like Nadia Zawala did behind her sofa. It's like, you do whatever you do, and that's as natural as it comes, baby.
Exactly.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So welcome back. Back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Where were we?
Shall we get into the questions? I've got one from Hannah here. Any tips for second birth? Due in November and barely had time to think about it.
Oh. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. Absolutely. It's not November. You've got a little while to think about it. Yeah. Don't stress about that. I mean, for me, second time round, the things I was thinking about was more what was going to happen to Axel. Like, when I sort of went into labour, who was going to be there? Who were we going to call? Who was going to be on hand? I always had like a little bag packed for him, and sort of got prepped that way. And then other than that, it's just the same as you would have done the first.
I think I kind of see it slightly differently, in as much that obviously, even with your second, even though it's still your body, you know, it's still your baby, it will be a completely different experience. So go into it, like Georgia said, go into it as kind of prepped as you can be, just kind of mentally, because I think always kind of moving your mind on and just being present in that moment and trusting your body, but also knowing that you're going to go through a completely different experience. And that in itself is really exciting. So maybe learnings from the first labor, I'm not sure what sort of, you know, labor you had that first time round, but the second one will be different, probably quicker, and hopefully a bit more enjoyable.
Yes.
What's it like? Oh gosh, what's it like the first time you go to the loo after labour? Well, let's go there, Lauren. I like that question from you. Well, it's a shit show, or not, as the case may be, because I found the constipation hideous. I don't know about you, G, but like it was like days and days and days of it because I'd had the epidural and everything else that I'd had to take. But obviously as well, because I had an episiotomy and then second time around I had a tear, obviously things are just really, really sore. So there are some really good tips just in terms of, like, I used to pour warm water in a jug over myself as I was weeing. And then obviously, like, I mean, graphic, but like I got Dozer to do it, stand behind the loo and like tip it down, just like being there for me, just supporting me, because even that process is so frightening, because you actually feel like the whole lot's going to come out, don't you?
Yeah, the first time round, I don't think I went to the toilet number two for god, like days and days, because I was putting it off in my head, like number two. I say it to Axel because I don't want him to shout poo at school, like I need a poo, you know, like, so we've been saying number two. I didn't go for days because I built it up so much in my head, like, oh god, it's going to be awful. And actually, it was pretty awful the it was. But there's a product called, from my expert midwife, called Spritz for Bits, and that's more for wees, but it does help you heal as well.
Yeah, and also you can get this really amazing rubber ring that you can just get from Amazon. We'll do links to all of these, and you basically just put it underneath your bum, put it on the loo seat basically, and you can sit on it and it just takes the pressure off. So if you're kind of sore and bruised down there and you're just feeling very uncomfortable, then you can sit on that and it does make things a little bit easier again.
Yeah, but on a positive note, second time round, the first time I went to the toilet just for a wee hurt, and after that it was fine. But it just all depends on your recovery. That's if you have no stitches, then it won't be too bad.
Yeah, okay. This is from Alice. Advice for someone considering having kids but terrified of childbirth. Oh, Alice, listen, this was me. I hear
me
you.
Too.
We both hear you. But I can tell you this right now, that there is actually nothing terrifying about it. Because like we've said before, the idea of it, you think, oh my God, what's going to happen? I've got no idea what my body's going to do. I don't know the pain levels and all of it's fear of the unknown. That's what the scary thing is. But your body is basically programmed to do this. So once the baby's engaged, there is only one direction that baby, literally one direction that baby can go. So, you know, it's at that point you have to be as freeing as you've ever been and just trust that it's all going to be all right.
Yeah. And also just be really informed, know exactly what you can ask for, what your decisions are. You just know exactly what the process can be. And also if you are, you know, really, really, really scared, and a planned C-section might be a better way to go for you. There is no point in feeling anxious the whole way through. Like, there really isn't. You don't want to ruin that experience. So definitely talk to like your midwives or your doctor or whoever it is that you're seeing, because that is an option. And I think we don't really talk about that enough, because it is.
Yeah, some people have a complete fear of childbirth.
And yeah.
That's absolutely fine. If that's something that you feel that you can't get over, like, book in a C-section and just be like, this is what I want to do. This is where I'm at. They will listen to your fears.
Exactly.
It's really weird how society, we've been like, oh no, we can't do that. We can't. It's like, of course you can. It's our body, our choice.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, here we go. Look, not a question, but would love to hear more content on C-sections, please.
Yeah, Alejandra.
Yeah, we did actually record a podcast with Chloe and JB Gill, and they talked about the first experience. Chloe ended up having an emergency C-section. And so the second time, she booked in for a planned C-section, and it sounded incredible. Really, really incredible. Listen to that, because that's a really good example of a planned C-section.
Yeah. We've got one here from Sazzy. Did either of you struggle to come to terms with how your birth went? I had an elected C-section. Oh my gosh, yes. But I think both of us, definitely. Me the first time around, because I had this dream in my head of how it was going to go, and I was going to give birth in the water, and I had like visions of me reaching under and grabbing Luna under the water in this amazing like aqua movie. It was like the opposite of that. It was like a horror movie. And so I was so devastated, and I actually grieved for a really long time afterwards, because I felt like I'd failed. I was also obviously bruised and beaten up and just feeling like shit. But yeah, I planned it too much, and I didn't leave any room for any sort of flexibility. So I felt incredibly, like, almost like post-traumatic stress.
Yeah, I think you hear a lot of people who, you know, they're really traumatized by their labor. And so then they'll go back and speak to their medical team, and they can actually talk them through the notes. Like, if you're really struggling to come to terms with how it went, you can request to have a meeting so that someone, you know, who knows what the notes mean, can talk you through it. And sometimes there's things that happened during a labor that nobody will remember, you know, especially the woman. She doesn't remember it happening because it was so chaotic or so traumatic or whatever. And actually talking through it and coming to terms with what happened can really help.
Mm. Yeah, that's really good, actually. I'd quite like to do that, I think, although I'm terrified of doing that. Just so much fear.
Five things you wish you knew before birth.
Oh my God, brilliant. Great question, Sam. Love that.
Number one, how amazing the epidural is.
Oh my God, the epidural is amazing.
For me. And also, actually, second time round, I didn't have one, didn't have time to have one. And I didn't think gas and air did anything. And actually, it does. Gas and air does work. So,
It works.
You know, it does work. It really does. So, I wish I knew that before as well. So, I wouldn't have been so like reluctant.
For me, I wish that someone had told me that you can actually poo yourself in front of everybody. No one tells you. Like actual, like poo yourself as you're pushing the baby out. And I just didn't, no one had mentioned that to me. So I wish I'd had that.
But that happens a lot, doesn't it? Like that really does. So don't worry about that.
That's the least of your worries. I just wish maybe might have mentioned it for me. Another thing was that you can definitely be in there for longer than you think. So I think I wish that I had been told that actually you might not just be there for a night and come back the next day looking like you'd stepped out of a salon. Actually, you can be in there for 3 days or 4 days or 5 days or is that five?
I think that's five.
Did any of you experience any bonding issues? Love you guys so much, Izzy. Oh, we love you too, Izzy.
We love you
too.
That's
nice.
That is nice.
Did you?
Bonding issues. I think I definitely didn't have that whole like rush of love straight away, especially after Axel, because it's all unknown. You're a bit sort of, I was a bit groggy. Like, I don't know. I remember laying there, like, I was really excited and like, you know, I couldn't believe it happening, had the whole adrenaline sort of rush that it was all done and I'd done it. But I do remember maybe like a few days later bringing him home and like sort of looking at him thinking, what the hell? Like,
that's when you text me.
Who is this baby in my room? Like, what has happened? Yeah, I think, you know what, at the end of the day, like, they are strangers, like, and as weird as that sounds, they are actually strangers and you do have to get to know them. And, you know, sometimes you meet a stranger, don't you, and you instantly fall in love with them, and sometimes you don't. Sometimes it's a grow-up.
Like you and me. In fact, some might say that you love me more than you love your own child, so...
You might say.
I definitely did the second time round, actually, and that was because of my feelings around Luna being left out. So I was so focused on breaking the bond between Luna and I, and that whole like, oh gosh, what's the second baby going to do? And it's going to mess her up and she's not going to feel loved anymore. And so I was more focused on making sure that Luna was okay. And you hear that a lot, actually. I think it's quite common. I hope it is.
Yeah.
When Kit came along, I was kind of like, oh my gosh, there's all this love. And I didn't think I'd feel it. But it definitely happened a little bit slower, I think. I think like Georgia said, you know, it's, you expect and you hear these fairy tales of that moment and the, you know, the baby looks up at you and it's like, well, the baby doesn't open their eyes very much at the beginning anyway. So, and you know, there's this like clang of love and you explode and okay, that can happen sometimes, but also what you can be left with is a feeling of, you know, a bit of emptiness, a fear, definitely, and an exhaustion around what you've been through and like, what the hell do I do next? You know?
Yeah. It's all very new.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. This one just made me laugh. Why does no one tell you that your fanny flaps can get very swollen when pushing?
I don't know
why no one tells you that either.
But you know why though? Because all the blood rushes to your fanny. So obviously, yeah. Like, in the butt, and so everything becomes very swollen. But I remember standing in the shower. It's not just pushing, Chantel. I remember standing in the shower after Luna and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have a touch here. I'm going to have to feel because it felt very weird. And yeah. I can only describe it as an elephant's trunk. Do you know, like, it was sort of big and swollen. I just took my hand away. I was like, oh my god, I'm never touching it ever again.
I remember. Yeah, it just feels puffy and I mean, it does go down though, you know, as with all swellings.
It does. Oh gosh, okay. Husband struggling to get over traumatic birth a year ago, but I want another baby. Oh, yeah, that is a really tough one.
We don't always talk about the husbands during a traumatic birth. Because they have to witness, you know, their wife or partner going through something really horrendous. Yeah. And I'm guessing they feel quite, you know, helpless in some ways.
You do hear a lot of PTSD, you know, falling on the partner. You do hear it a lot because they're kind of having to be there, the pillar of strength, and actually what they're witnessing to their kind of hero, their idol, the person they put on a pedestal, the person they love the most in the world, looks very graphic and can be very traumatic. And, you know, even if you don't have a traumatic birth and you have kind of a, you know, a straightforward birth, it can still look pretty like, oh my gosh. My husband describes it as your favourite pub being burnt down. Cheers, daughter. But all jokes aside, it can be really, really distressing for them. So I think the absolute key, if you want to have another baby, is to sit your partner down, your husband down, and just talk it out. Keep talking it out, because the only way to ever deal with any trauma is to face it.
Yeah, to talk it. Yeah.
Talk it out and to be like, what are you frightened of? What's happened? What part of it was it? Maybe you guys want to go and speak to somebody about it, because, you know, if he's really feeling like this, and it's putting a block in the way between you guys having another baby, you've got to get it sorted. I would recommend counselling. I think that could be really beneficial.
Absolutely. And then talk through, you know, your birth choices the second time round. Like, you know, would you feel more comfortable if you, you know, planned an induction and then was perhaps, you know, had pain relief straight away? Like, what would it be that would make him feel better?
I mean, it's your body, so you've got to do what you want to do. So.
Exactly. It's not his body.
Mine was empowering and incredible. I wish I wasn't in the minority. I love that.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely.
Yay, that's amazing. Congratulations. Well, I agree with you, because that is just wonderful to hear, isn't it, G?
Yeah, no, it really is. And I honestly, I didn't believe people when they said it could be like that, but I didn't really, when people told me about, oh, I had this most amazing birth, you know, it was a couple of pushes and then the baby was out and it was amazing. I literally used to think, oh, well, you know, whatever, that's just not true. And then with Gigi, it happened. It was really unexpected and it is lovely. And I do like to tell people about that because it does happen. It happens a lot that I, you know, talk to a lot of my friends who've had babies, and a lot of us have had really positive experiences. And yeah, we do need to talk about those more, because it's like, you know, again, fear can really get in the way of having those experiences. So the more we talk about positive ones, hopefully we lessen the fear for other people.
Agreed. And you know what? I'm just thinking back to my labour with Kit. And I remember after having the epidural, you know, hours later, so you still have to push when you have an epidural. And I remember just going for it, and Dozzle was like, come on. And I remember just having my legs up in stairs, and I was like, ah! And it was like, it was like climbing Everest, you know. I was like so pumped and I was pushing so hard. And after, obviously, you know, and maybe an hour of it, it was like, it was done, and Kit was there, and I was like, I'm a fucking legend.
Yeah.
So incredible, don't you?
Yeah, the adrenaline rush is, amazing.
Oh, brilliant. Love that. I'm glad I haven't really spoken about that before. It just came back to me. I'll lock it away again now.
Don't lock it away. Talk about it. Should I be put off having more kids after two difficult births? Definitely not.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
They're
all so different.
Yeah, that's right, isn't it? That's what we say. Every birth is different. So your first two births were difficult. You know, the next two might be an absolute walk in the park. You've got to put them out of your mind, shut them away, like, obviously not lock them up forever, but just in terms of looking at your next labor, it will be completely different. You've got this. Let's have a look at, we'll just do a couple more because we're again always
time. The best chat too much
snacks during labor. Love you guys. I think loads of bananas are really, really great for energy, and they contain loads of potassium, so they're really fantastic to kind of keep the energy going, and they're obviously slow releasing. Things like nuts and like seed. I had like a massive bag of cashew nuts with raisins for the one M&S, and I just munched my way through that. Nature Valley bars were also incredible for me. Just things that basically will give you, because you don't want to sit there and eat, you know, penne al arrabbiata whilst you're like trying to push something out. So I think just like snacks that will keep you going, basically.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I have to be honest, I didn't actually eat in either of my labours. I think the only thing I ate was a Haribo Tang Fast Stick.
They're also excellent to have.
They are also, yeah. And you know what? One tip, actually, I knew with Axel that I was going to be induced the next day. So obviously I knew that it was happening. And can't remember who told me, but someone did. But basically eat like you're going to, you know, be doing a marathon the next day. So basically like carb load the night before. So have, you know, your big bowl of pasta the night before if you're going to be induced, because then that will see you through the next day. So yeah.
That's a really good tip. I like that.
Yeah.
George, do you want to take the last one? Caggy Faces, her name is.
Oh, yeah. What's the process of encapsulating your placenta? Really keen to do it next time. So I did this with Gigi, and I cannot speak highly enough of the lady that I used. She was from Placenta Care. And so I had a chat with her, I don't know, a couple of months before. I told her my due date, the hospital that I was going to give birth in. And I booked in a package that was also a smoothie as well as the capsules. And I also got some other bits and pieces, like some products made from the placenta, all that kind of stuff. But what happened was she sent, I think about a week before my due date, she sent like a cool bag. And in it, I don't exactly know what was in it. It was like, you know, plastic boxes and stuff like that. And then there was instructions in there. And she actually told me to just give this to whoever my birthing partner was. So I gave it to James. He looked through it all. And when Gigi came so quickly, I remember James saying to the midwife, have I got time to run to the car and get the call back for the placenta? And she said no. So what happened was we just let the midwife know that that's what I was doing. So as soon as I pushed the placenta out, she took it away and put it in this cool bag, and there's like ice in there and stuff like that. We called her name's Sophie, and Sophie actually came and collected it from the hospital, and she came and made me a smoothie in the hospital as well. I don't know if you don't have if you're not having a smoothie, I'm not sure if they send a courier. So sometimes they'll send a courier to come and collect it. But it is really important that you follow the correct process, because you don't want it to become contaminated, because then it's completely like counterproductive. And then I think it was only a couple of days later, the capsules and everything arrived.
And what the cost?
It really varies. I had like the big package, and that's a few hundred pounds. But you can have, you know, just parts of it, you know, like you can just have the capsules, you could just have the products, you could just have the smoothie, you can have all of it. So this, you know, for whatever your budget, whatever you want to spend, I'm sure there'll be something. And I had a great experience after Gigi. I've said before, I didn't have that day three hormones. I didn't cry. And I did the first time round. So I think that is what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to keep you quite balanced.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I have to be honest, I did it because I thought it was going to be good for my skin and hair.
Which it is. Your skin and hair.
Which it is as well. I was pretty amazed that it did keep me very balanced. That's the only way I can describe it. I wasn't like buzzing around the room with energy, but I wasn't really, really low either. I just felt very in control.
Yeah, well, you kind of do what you need to do to kind of try everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's a good idea if you want to do it. Some people don't believe in it, but it worked for Georgia, so...
Yeah, I really rate it.
That's it. We could talk about birth forever. We do enjoy it.
We really could.
Probably
yeah.
Do another episode at some point, because there's so many more questions to get through. But thank you so much for sending them all in. We absolutely love reading them. As always, please, if you can, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. And if you haven't told, a mum mate of yours about Made by Mum as a podcast, please spread the word, because we're trying to get it out to as many parents as possible.
Yeah, please do, and please do keep your suggestions coming for this Friday episode. Just drop us a line at Made by Mamas or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman if you have any suggestions, and we will see you next week.
See you then.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better?
Well,
HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.